Welcome to the sixth and final episode of a new Unukun podcast series on World Mental Health Day, a companion piece to the physical exercise and mental health article in the print version of the October edition. In response to the recent Students' Health and Wellbeing Survey, which found that one-third of students studying in Norway identify as having a mental health disorder, such as anxiety and depression, we've decided to open up the conversation to award-winning fashion, potentially, surrounding mental health from the point of view of physical exercise, a large part of Norwegian life. Joining me this week is Maya Nixon, a third-year bachelor student of international relations from Virginia in the United States, but she's exchanging from Germany, and Petra Mittenberger, a third-year bachelor student of English from South Australia, but she's a degree-seeking student here in Norway. Welcome both.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
In this beautiful room, in the STA building, yeah. In the SEA building. Now, firstly, you didn't participate in the article, which means that I'm going into this blind. I don't know what your situation is regarding your exercise regimen here. But briefly, Maya, you said that you are quite active in the gym here. What is it about being in Norway as opposed to being in Germany, as opposed to being in Virginia? How is it different from these other places that you've been in your life?
Here, I'm working out 5 to 6 times a week, actually. I'm also playing football on the women's football team here. When I'm in Germany, I had a job in the gym, so I was there all the time, even on days maybe when I didn't feel like being there. I was still there, so I still got some sort of workout in, even if it wasn't the best. Back in the US, I just played football. I didn't really go to the gym that often because it was high school and I was doing high school sports and extracurriculars and all those sorts of things.
And what about you, Petra?
I think my routine has evolved a little more since I've met Maya, actually. I think when I started going to the gym more often in the beginning of this year, after going through some emotional challenges and heartbreak. So you just want to improve yourself. And I think that was a big motivator for me. But ever since I've met Maya, actually, she's taught me a lot of new things of how to use the machinery, the equipment. And I feel a lot more knowledgeable and more comfortable to, you know, approach other things rather than just being on the treadmill. So, yeah.
Well, that's my safe space too.
Yeah.
I always start with that. How did you actually meet?
That's a good question.
I remember.
Oh.
Actually, it was one of those, you know, nights where everyone gets together in a forest and drinks. And
oh, it was the forest night.
No, that was not the first time.
Really?
I remember now. We met at the city tour day during orientation week. Right after we got out of City Hall, I went with our mutual friend Addis. And he was with this tall Australian girl. I thought she was another exchange student. And
little
then
did you know.
I was like asking Addis, I said, where's the buddy? Where's the buddy that's guiding the tour? And she was like, I'm right here.
And it's me. So then I guess that's how we met. But then we've bonded through mutual friends and now we have become close friends. So yeah.
And from that day in the city and in the forest when you started your friendship, what has been the best thing that you think you got out of it? Not just the outside of the exercise part of it, but learning more about practical things. But what did you think that you gained from each other more widely?
I think for myself, actually, this is going to get sentimental.
Well, it's the last one of the semester,
no.
So we can't be sentimental now.
Oh,
when
no.
Can we?
Oh. We just have to push through and have no heart towards it. But I think what I've...
Okay.
No, Maya, you're close to my heart. Anyway, so I think what I've learned from Maya is that she's really, like, confident to stand up for herself, which I struggle to sometimes. And I don't like conflict personally, and I try to avoid it when I can. You're gonna laugh. It's true though.
She's making it sound like I enjoy conflict.
No, but like it's a really
who
healthy.
Doesn't enjoy conflict.
Yeah,
every now and again.
I don't enjoy conflict, but
for the record,
if I need to stand up for myself or somebody else, I will. If somebody needs to be checked, they're gonna get checked.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I can count on Maya for that if I need any advice for that. So I think
if she chooses to listen to me.
Yeah. I mean, I can stand up for myself, but sometimes you need that person.
You need that push, yeah.
Yeah, you need that push. And I need that push from a lot of people sometimes. So that's what I've gained from Maya, like emotionally speaking.
For me, it's been interesting. Since I moved to Germany, I've been in Germany 3 years. Before I moved to Germany, I didn't have very many friends in the U.S. It was COVID. I was finishing high school. I didn't have a good high school experience, so I kind of dropped everybody. And I didn't have that many close friends in Germany either. Like, there was a group of people I was kind of close with, but I didn't have, like, one, like, best friend, like, that I was always with type of thing. So I think I've kind of found that with Petra, because...
No.
Yeah. I realized that there was one night when we were hanging out. It was, like, 3 a.m. or something stupid. I don't know what we were doing. And we were just sitting on her bed laughing at nothingness.
That's true.
And I was like, it's been a long time since I've been able to tell somebody everything and been able to have these moments where we're like dying laughing at nothing at 3 a.m. So it was just a really nice realization.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
Well, we're going to move on now.
Yeah, move on
quickly.
So you don't
have to worry about that. But that's so interesting because I felt the same way, because when I left Scotland, I didn't really have very many people that I talked to. And it wasn't because I didn't try. I think I may have exhausted the population because there aren't that many of us. But so it wasn't a difficult choice for me to leave my home country and go to another country, England, which is within the same nation of Britain. But for me, it was leaving home for the first time. And I felt that I did make quite a lot of friends in my adopted city, my study city, before coming to Norway. And so it was a lot more difficult to leave my study city in England than it was for me to leave my home in Scotland. I'm interested to know from you, as somebody that left America and went to Germany, and also Petra, you left when you were both the same age, 18, you left Australia. Why did you make that decision? Why did you decide I'm going to go to Germany and study at that age?
Okay, so mine's a bit of a story.
Which is great. We love that. Here at Unicum, home of the story.
So I was applying to college, as one does as an American. You're expected to go to college. I was considering taking a gap year. My parents would not hear of it. They were like, no, you're going to college. It's like, okay. So I applied to 3 universities in the U.S. They were very good schools, all relatively close to home. About 4 hours was the farthest one. And the applications were due in December, found out in April-ish, and I found out that I got waitlisted for all 3 of them. So then it's April. Most deadlines are in December, so I panicked a little bit. I applied to 15 schools in the U.S., and then I had gone to Germany during a 3-week summer exchange program, and I had learned German for 5 years at that point, so I was like, why don't I look at Germany? Like, what could be the harm in that? I spoke enough German that I could probably do a program that was a mix of German and English, maybe not fully German, but I could do a mix. I was going to apply to some public German universities, but the deadlines were later because they're on a winter semester, so they don't start until October. At some point, I found my university, which is used to be called Jacobs University. It's now called Constructor University, and it's an international, it's
which
a private.
Which is a beautiful name.
Constructor, it's absolutely
isn't
not.
Isn't it fabulous?
We joke that our mascot is Bob the Builder. It's a private international university. It's less than 2,000 students, but it's 80% international students. So it's basically like Erasmus for 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's actually not very many European students. So I applied there, and then the 15 schools in the U.S., so 16 total in April. If I'd stayed in the U.S., I would have gone to the military, would have done ROTC. So that's 4 years military training while you're in college. And
for
then
the non-military audience, what is ROTC?
I don't remember what it stands for.
It will remain unresolved then.
Wow. Yeah.
The mystery continues.
It's been a while since I've talked about it. But it's 4 years. Basically, you're doing military training while you're in university. And so once you graduate university, you are required to enlist in the military for a mandatory 4 years of service. But instead of going in as an enlisted person, you go in as an officer. So you're already higher ranking than the people that go in straight out of high school. So I was considering that. And then I got into all 15 of those plus the one in Germany. And I was looking at my options, and it was either stay in the U.S. 4 years, pay a lot more money, share a room, go military, or go to Germany. 3 years, less money, get further away from home. I did want to leave, so that was kind of what I was looking for. So I decided in summer of 2020 that in like 2 months I would move to Germany by myself, and my parents couldn't come with me or anything because it was middle of COVID. I had to have a special letter saying I could get on the plane. So that was an interesting experience, but it kind of was driven by my German teacher and the fact that I knew German to go outside of the U.S. in the first place.
But that was a huge step, though, to say, I'm doing this on my own in the middle of a global pandemic.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it. I'm thinking back on it, like, yes, it's a big thing, and everybody tells me, they're like, oh, you're so brave, and I just did it.
Did you feel like, if I stay here, I will be unhappy, and I need to sort of push myself beyond what
probably.
I know?
Probably. I also wasn't...
Because I felt like that.
I wasn't fully sure what I wanted to do. I was very interested in the global community, let's put it that way. So I was looking at any programs that were international relations, international studies, anything like that. And since the schools in the U.S. were not my top choice, I wasn't super excited about going to them. They were not the types of schools I was wanting to go to. I didn't really want to go to a big state school. A lot of them were big state schools, things like that. So I guess it was a big thing, but I don't really know.
It is a big thing.
It's a big thing.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
We can do a poll if needs be. Petra, what about you? Because you also left and moved across the world.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Almost to the other side of the world.
I didn't know the language at all, just to point that out, because you had some...
Yeah, I never would have had the confidence to go if I didn't already speak German. I'll put that out there.
Yeah. It's also a bit of a story for me. I've always had the idea in high school that I would want to study abroad, and not just as an exchange, but as a degree, for a degree. And then when it got closer to the end of the year of my high school, I was going to graduate pretty soon, and everyone was already applying for the universities around Australia. And here I am kind of not telling anyone about my intentions, because it always was a secret, because no one would really understand why you would want to go out of Australia. And people even ask me in Norway, why'd you come to Norway? Because they're like, just stay in Australia. It's beautiful. It's a paradise. And I agree. But that wasn't what I wanted. And when everyone started applying, I obviously did not apply. I was not active at all. I had intentions of working until Europe would start taking in university students, because it's a different season. So Australia starts university in February, March, whereas obviously Europe begins in the middle of the year, and probably at the US as well, because we have different seasons. We have summer right now, while it's freezing cold over here right now. So then I just started working, and I didn't even tell my family. Like, most of my family didn't really know. It was just my mum and I that we were conversing about this and thinking, how can we make this work? Because I also was planning this during a pandemic, and it was really hard to get out of Australia with all the regulations, border controls. They were like, sorry, you can't go out of the country unless you're going to be out there for minimum 6 months. I was like, no problem, I'm leaving for years. Goodbye. And we planned, it went so smoothly, you know, considering that it was such a busy time and stressful with the pandemic, and the secrecy was also stressful. But it went really smoothly, and my family in the end found out about a week ago, a week before I left.
Oh, I was going to say, what happened 2 years? We were listening to the Unicorn podcast, and then we realized you weren't here.
Yeah, it's been a tough time. They put like wanted signs everywhere. I told them a week before, because it was really uncertain, because I was accepted into UIA. And I didn't apply for anything else. This was the only university I applied for. I was that determined. I was like, I have to get into this one. It's just where my mind was at. Got in. And and then I left. But of course, my family were devastated, but were proud of me taking a step forward into the right direction. Because for me, I know that I needed to be independent completely, at least for the time being, and find myself. Because honestly, when I was living in Adelaide, there was a point where I was like, it's just boring, and I'm not feeling like I'm growing where I am. And even my friends, they are elsewhere. So when I felt disconnected emotionally to my hometown, I was like, I need to find home somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Because that's...
I know that feeling.
Yeah. That's, if it's calling for you to go somewhere else, find it and go for it. Because why stretch time in a place that you don't feel happy about?
Yeah. And also, if a global pandemic is not telling you that life is short and you need to grasp all of the opportunities. I took 2 years out during that time because I knew that I wouldn't get the opportunities and experiences that we've had now.
Yeah.
So I went into the workplace. I worked full-time and part-time for the couple of years.
Mm.
But it was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to go back to university and do all the things like a study abroad and a volunteering abroad and a master's that I hadn't done the first time. So I felt I had like unfinished business.
Mm.
But I knew I didn't want to do it during the pandemic because I was paying for it this time. If you're a Scottish student and you go to a Scottish university, you get your university education for free. So
nice.
That is another thing that doesn't happen in Norway anymore, unfortunately, for international students. But that was another reason that I wanted to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happened that it had to be somewhere else because my home first university kept delaying the course I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be another place. And it just so happened that there were only two other universities in Britain that were doing it, and none of them were in Scotland. So I knew I had to leave at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really glad that I did. But what was it for you, Maya, that you decided, I'm going to Norway?
That was
were your options?
Honestly, not really my decision.
Okay.
I had never considered Norway. I saw it as this kind of beautiful,
distant
nature-y,
land.
Expensive yes. place that I would want to go to, but probably never would. I originally applied for my study abroad a year prior, and I applied to and was accepted to the University of Aberdeen.
Oh, wow, in Scotland.
Yes, wow. I very much wanted to go there.
To Aberdeen?
To Aberdeen.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I know it's a really good university, but
yeah.
The city is interesting.
I had a friend that went
oh.
and she enjoyed it.
She enjoyed it. Oh, well, yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
So I had applied a year prior. I was accepted and everything, and then things happened, and I decided that I couldn't go at that point in time, so I deferred my study abroad. So the following year, I applied again to Aberdeen and my other two options, because my university says pick three and we send you to one. The other two were also in the UK. I think it was Edinburgh and Warwick. I don't remember exactly,
Warwick
though.
University. But that's interesting. Is that because in Germany you have to do a study abroad?
No, you don't have to do one, but I was studying international relations, so it made sense for me to go somewhere else. Even if I did have to defer it by a year, I really wanted the experience. So, So then after I got rejected for Aberdeen the second year because the spots were filled, Brexit, whatever, something,
okay.
I don't know what happened. But the second year I was like, I got in last year, shouldn't I get in again? And they were like, no, that's not how this works. So that kind of changed my plans. Then they sent me three options. There was a university in Poland, there was a university in Spain, and then Norway. And the Polish university didn't have a cooperation with my major, so that wasn't even an option for me. I don't know why they told me in the first place. And then the other two were Spain, of course, and here. I could not decide for a while. I was so indecisive. I was making pro-con lists. I was looking at courses over and over and over, trying to decide where I wanted to go, looking at the Instagrams of the universities. And I was so undecided. I was texting my friend who had gone to the one in Spain. He loved it. I knew people at that university still. So everything was telling me go there. The weather was better. Definitely, for sure. Everything was telling me to go there, but for some reason I just couldn't commit. And so eventually I was looking at the courses. I liked the course choices better here, and there were more of them because in Spain there were not that many for my major because most of the classes were in Spanish, and I had already taken a few that were similar, so I couldn't take them again. So eventually I was just like, I'm done thinking about it. Let's just go to Norway and see what happens.
And then you arrived.
And now I'm here.
And for you,
yes,
seeking a full degree in another country.
Mm.
I know we've talked about this before, but you had a very specific interest in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so it does stem from my mother, who, like I told you before, but of course, let's speak about it again.
Mm-hmm. Officially.
Officially.
On the record.
On the record. my mother, when she was younger, she is originally from Latvia, so she went to Norway occasionally when she was young, and I would always hear of some stories how much she loved Norway. And of course, it stayed in my mind, and I had the intention personally to go abroad. So I thought, well, maybe this is a sign. I'll check this out for myself. So through that inspiration, I did my own research. And of course, I wanted a place that I could maybe fit in more into, and I chose the south of Norway because I knew that potentially the weather will be much nicer, and it's a holiday place for Norway, for local Norwegians.
In the summer.
So yeah, it was a choice to pick Southern Norway, and UiA was one of the most popular universities here. And I just went on their YouTube, looked at all their little videos about all of Kristiansand, and I fell in love. And I was like, oh my goodness, look at these little white houses. We don't have this in Australia. It's so cute. So I was convinced. And then I just went, you know, Mum, I'm going here. And she was like, oh, she's like, this is cool. So then, yeah. I love Scandinavian culture and whatnot. Everyone says the same answers. They love the nature, the culture. But it is true. It's really charming, I would say. And when people go see the Northern Lights in Tromsø, it's like a wonder. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And how have you felt being here for so much longer than both of us? What have the other years been like with the other international students? Have you had the same sort of experiences this semester? Mm. Or how has it worked for you?
I hope not. I hope I'm special.
Oh, you are very.
I hope so too. I hope we are very special.
I have never met people like you, and that's like.
Thank you.
Something. Excellent. Well, I would hope not.
No.
I try my very best not to be like anybody else.
Oh, that's yeah. Well,
that's a good. That's valid. That's good.
So when I first came here, in my first couple of weeks, pretty depressing. I was very sad because Norwegians. Okay, maybe not Norwegians at first. The whole like buddy system at the beginning, because it was still kind of COVID. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The buddy systems weren't going great. Buddies were getting sick. So in the end, I was just at home, you know, trying to figure out my life for the next couple of weeks, what I'm going to eat for breakfast and everything. But I really wanted friends. I was craving social interaction. And that didn't happen until a couple of weeks later when two Norwegians announced on a Zoom call to everyone in the lecture, hey, we are creating a group chat for studies, you know, please let us know if you'd like to join. And we're like, wow, this is great. So then we I for one said yes, I would love to join. And apparently there was a lot of people who wanted to come, and but a lot of them fell out. And then it came to a point where there was just a small handful of us, maybe small, I mean like 10 people. And we became the phonology squad.
Okay.
Shout out to the phonology squad. They might hear this.
They've been waiting for episode after episode.
Just waiting for their shout out.
Yeah, we were called that because we did phonology for one of our courses. And we were so good at it all together. We're like, we are literally the phonology squad. So we called ourselves that. And
words got out.
Yeah, we were famous. So, yeah, that was a really great group. And I stuck with them for a whole year. And a lot of great things grew from that. But then the summer came, and then this was last fall. Dynamics had shifted. We're not in the same group anymore. And I had to find some new people. But I was in a relationship at the time. So when you're in a relationship, you don't really think of other people that much. And then when that broke in the next semester after that, then I was completely alone and didn't know where to look, and just had one friend, which is more than enough sometimes, but you know, you wish that you actually reached out more. And, but I would say that this semester has been by far the most fun, and with the most interesting people. Yeah. I've done things that I haven't done before. Like, I don't know, even celebrate Halloween. Never did that.
That's a requirement. And you're friends with an American here.
I know. And we won the duo contest.
Yes, we did.
Yes,
we were,
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Ratatouille.
Because now I can segue into this.
Yes.
As somebody that didn't do anything, because I literally didn't have time, I still went to the event dressed as myself, because isn't that terrifying?
Iconic.
I know. And I was sure, I was like, I hope to God I win the person who made the shittiest effort award. But I didn't even win that.
No, because it wasn't shitty. You are yourself. So how can that be? You
know. I don't even know
I don't know who won that.
They didn't ever announce.
They never
I can't
did.
Remember their name.
Okay. But you wanted an award. But you did win some awards this year.
I
you
did.
You did win quite a few awards.
I did, which also brings me on to your hosting.
Yes.
Wait, are we talking about Halloween first or hosting first?
Let's return to the Halloween.
Okay. All right.
And tell me how the idea for Ratatouille.
Okay, I want
to
do this.
Yeah, you do it. You're,
came to
you're
be
passionate.
Because I know you told me about it and I went, okay. And then I saw it and I told everybody that was there, turn around now. And look.
To be fair, we made an entrance.
You did.
We did.
So how it came about, I I'm very passionate about Halloween. It's
no,
that's an understatement.
When I was a kid, it was like a standard thing, you know, whatever. But then in the US, when you're in college, it's a thing. And if we're quoting Mean Girls here, I don't know if I can remember the exact quote, but it's the one day a year girls are allowed to dress like a slut and nobody can say anything about it.
I think that's possibly word for word.
Wow.
I would be proud of myself if it was. It's close. Mm-hmm. So you're it's fun. You got to see what you can do. My first year of uni, we didn't have a Halloween party because it was COVID. Mm-hmm. My second year, I was Tinkerbell, which was quite fitting according to everybody that saw it. The following year, I was Harley Quinn, but like the one that's black and red, not the one from Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And that one was pretty good. That was my party outfit, and then I did Tinkerbell again for the kids' party because it was more child-friendly. mm-hmm. Then this year, I was looking for options, and I've always wanted to do kind of group costume or a duo costume or something. It's just more fun. When I did Tinkerbell, some of my friends were the other fairies, so that was kind of a group costume, but we didn't really hang out that much, so not really. So then I was thinking of options. I was like, oh, Petra, of course. So then I was looking at options that would fit us, you know, redhead, blonde, or tall, short, something like that. My initial plan was I wanted to do Princess Peach and Princess Daisy. Mm. It's cute, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fairly easy. Whatever. And then we were supposed to be studying together one day, and we weren't.
Supposed to be.
We were on Pinterest and Google.
Yes.
And scrolling through Halloween costumes. I have a Pinterest board of Halloween costumes, so we were adding things, going through things. And we found some other ones that would have been good. I can't even remember some of them right now. She was finding funny ones. I was finding cute ones.
Yeah, I'm had a humorous one, you know?
We had different outlooks on this process. But eventually...
Is it Batman and Robin?
That could work.
Eventually, Speedy. She found Ratatouille. And I was like, no way, you're going to make me be a rat for Halloween. Like, I was Tinkerbell, I was Harley Quinn, I wanted to be Princess Daisy, or Princess Peach, rather, and you're gonna make me be a rat.
A sexy rat. At least.
And so, we kept looking, but we could never get it out of our minds. It was just so perfect. Mm. A tall redhead, a small person that can sit on that tall redhead's shoulders.
Yes, I was surprised that I could even lift you on my shoulders.
Why? You're so strong.
I don't know, you know, back problems and whatnot. I just thought, is that possible?
Okay.
I've been teaching you in the gym for months.
It was not even, I was not aware of that, actually.
But yeah, so we settled on that, and the day of the party or the day before, I realized I had no gray clothes. So I went to the mall the day of the party and found just a gray tank top and some gray shorts and some mouse ears. We were looking for mouse ears and we couldn't find them.
Impossible.
Like three times. And then I went back and they were right in front of me. I don't know if they put them out or if we're just blind.
Crucial element.
Words got out. Yeah. Again.
She could have been a donkey on my shoulders, you know?
Excuse me.
Oh, that's a bad example. the gray color, you know?
But then Petra already had her outfit because of where she works, the uniform is like a chef coat.
Uniform.
So she had that. It has the hat, but she didn't wear the hat. Black pants, easy. And she decided to wear these red shoes randomly, and then we realized that Linguini actually wears red shoes. It was so perfect.
Perfect fit. Anyway.
So that's how we came to the costume.
It was literally, you said that when you put the shoes on. A perfect fit.
Yes.
Yeah. We have a few videos that we took when we were checking our outfits and how it would all go. We were practicing beforehand for
practicing
our big entrance.
The lift.
Because, do you want to talk about the entrance?
Not much to talk about. It's just what we did, you know?
It was award-winning.
Yeah, it was award-winning, clearly. You know, we just were outside. There was a few people in there, you know, chatting. We were like, all right, let's do it.
It was decently full by that point.
Anyway, we got a speaker.
Yes, I had my speaker in my hand.
Yeah, put her on my shoulders.
Played the Ratatouille song.
Walked in, made sure we didn't bump her head on the doorframe.
Yeah, that was scary. But there were, like, fake cobwebs from the ceiling, and they were all over me.
Yeah, well, that's Halloween for us. But and then we just walked around the... We
took a lap or two, and then I got down, we hung out with people, said hello, and then once more people got there, we did it again, and then we did it, I think, another time, and just made sure everybody saw the wonderfulness that was our Ratatouille costume.
Everyone got the experience of us.
It was stunning. It was so good.
Thank you.
We are amusing like that.
We were all going...
She was in the air.
Mixed stunned expression.
I could finally see things. I was finally tall enough to see. It was great.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's one of the great things about being hoisted up by somebody who's a lot taller than you. Yeah,
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's...
And everybody goes, oh, it's not that great to be tall. And they are lying.
I will say I like being short, but it's nice being tall every now and then.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All you need is a tall friend.
Exactly. Somebody to lift Perfect. You up.
To lift you up. Which is, brings us perfectly onto the Winter Gala, which you hosted. How did this come about? You said it was the day of. You were
creating well, it. Well, Maya said that to you, I think. But
well, the day of we planned what we were going to say.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. We knew this about a week ago. Yeah. Well, why do I say a week ago all the time? A week before. Anyway.
We started planning it after it happened.
Practically, yes. We were there, sitting on the stage, planning it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A little bit stressful, but I think we work well under pressure and we just went with the flow. Honestly, you don't need to plan so much. You just have to make sure the people are happy, feel like they have some sort of plan for the night, and then you're good.
And be confident. Can't be up there stuttering or anything. Mm. You just got to say what you got to say and roll with it.
Confidence
and
is key.
And if you do stutter, you can make a joke about it and then people laugh and it goes well.
Yeah. I love it when you make people laugh when you're on stage. You feel like you have the power.
Oh, it's great.
And if you like ask, oh, when we were giving the awards out for like you, Adam, you won 2 awards. Congratulations
Thank
on
you
that.
So much.
When people are coming up for their awards and you say, please give a round of applause to this. And they all start clapping like,
they have the control.
They just listened to what I said. Oh my goodness. I could be a dictator.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Joking.
Okay.
I'll take it back.
We can
talk about those. Yeah. Anyway.
But yes, how that came about. We were in line for Waffle Hour one day.
Mm.
And Coco, or Rufo, whatever name you know him by. Apparently
Shout
he goes
out to
by
that
different
guy.
Names. He's great. But he called Petra from further up in the line. It was like, hey, we want to make a TikTok for the ESN Instagram page.
This.
Which is still yet to be produced. Like,
it will
released.
Be posted.
I was just about to say, I don't remember what happened with it.
It will be released.
I think That's it will be posted fine. As a sneak peek for next semester's Waffle
Okay.
Hours. But he was like, we want to make a video and we need someone to ask questions. He was on the phone with Petra, but when you ask Petra to do something, it includes me.
She needs an
me.
Assistant.
Yes.
Yeah, Maya's my...
If you ask me to do something, it includes Petra. If you ask Petra, it also includes me. It's just, it's a package deal.
Yeah.
Which is how this happened.
Yeah. So we did that. It was a lot of fun. They wanted to make one for the International Food Festival as well. So Pernilla texted us and was like, we want to do another one. Are you down for it? We were like, yes, please. We will love to do it. And unfortunately, the audio did not work on that one, so the whole video is
Mime.
Non-existent.
Mute. Yes.
It's silent now.
It's a silent film.
Yep. Silent film. I mean, those
you
are
could
a trend.
You always put placards up. And then she screamed. And then she ate. And then she danced.
Yeah, true.
Okay, yeah.
Note but taken.
But yeah, so then a few days later, I don't know how long, however long after, we got, Pernilla sent us another text again, was like, do you guys want to host the Winter Gala? You just announced the Superlows and stuff, and we... I wanted to instantly say yes, but I texted Petra to make sure she also wanted to say yes. And we're like, we're doing it, right? Yes? Okay, good. And then we both texted her back. We're like, yes, we would love to. Please let us do it.
We love the control.
Yeah.
Give us
okay.
the roles.
Okay.
No, joking.
I would say I love being on stage, but...
Oh, I think
I did
we
not
love...
like being on stage. I think that came out.
I think a lot of people didn't like it. Eglantina, when she was welcoming, that's why they had us doing it, because she was... A little bit nervous.
I'm glad it
to
was you that was
people.
Giving out the prizes. That's all I will say.
You did almost leave your certificate though one time.
Well, yes, because I was.
She didn't give it to
in
you.
In such shock.
Thank you.
To go up there.
Under the bus.
For the second. That was your second
Again,
time.
Again, yeah. And I was like, oh,
everybody
no.
wanted you to win all of them.
Mm, you're a big favorite.
They were cheering.
I'm pretty sure there are people out
you.
There that did not want that.
Oh, okay. You're a big
but,
favorite though.
But they, people were cheering for you.
Oh, if I could hear over my own internal screaming.
Well, they were like,
oh, no.
Well, when I was,
nice.
A few times when I was reading about the award, they were chanting Adam.
Oh, really?
A little bit, yeah.
Somebody took a video of it and put it in one of the many hundreds of group chats that I'm
oh,
on.
Oh, really?
But I've yet to actually watch it.
Mm. Oh, so just you should share it with us. We want all the pictures and videos of us
okay.
on stage.
I will share it. I will have to watch it.
That's conceded.
Send it to you.
No, I want to see. I want to see if I did okay.
Yeah.
I want to remember the experience. It's the first.
That's the same for me.
It's
an analytical experience yeah. of watching myself.
Mm.
It's not something I would do for fun. I do it to criticize.
Criticize your posture
and take notes.
You just have to.
Oh.
Yeah, you just have to learn how to have fun with it in the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have stage fright or are you, how do you?
I don't have stage fright if it's prepared.
Mm.
If, for instance, I know what I'm supposed to say, then, and there is a script, which I love, then, because I cling to a script, you know. And,
like a koala bear.
And, yes, like a koala bear
yeah.
to a
Making
tree.
Making Australian references out here.
Uh-huh.
Yep, a shout out.
And if it is that situation, then I don't mind it. But if it's a surprise where, so, and then when you said, would you like to say something? I had to ask you again what you just said, because I was like, what is happening?
So for reference for all of these podcast listeners,
when the presented, many millions of people that are listening.
When presented with this award, the recipient was asked a question related to their award. So I think, Adam, you won the nerdiest award. And so we asked you a fun fact about something you liked. So we came up with different questions for each one. And that way everybody had something to say. Nobody seemed to like talking on stage except for maybe the Spanish guys.
They liked the limelight.
Because there was a group of people.
Yes, there were three of them. Yeah. But I think even if it was one of them, they would have loved it.
Well, also because the question was, what has been the most, you know, what do you have here that you don't have at home? But I thought saying all of my friends, but then that seemed a bit too obvious. And I was trying to say something interesting.
No, that would have been so nice. I love that what you said. Sweet.
You said Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was funny.
Oh, well, no, it needs more of Jesus. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we're in Christian Sun.
What was it nerdy for?
Nobody... I wrote an essay about this today.
You did?
I had my exam today, yes. And it was talking a lot about religion in the south of Norway.
Say a little prayer before you began.
I can't say that I did. I did
not pray for you.
I know. I'm just about together. To say that. Forever.
But, okay.
But when you asked me the question, my mind went black and I couldn't think of anything to say.
I saw it.
That's valid.
I saw it on your face. I was like, this is Adam. What?
I do that as well, though.
Yeah, but it's fine. It's okay to repeat the question. Yeah. And it was humorous, nevertheless. And actually,
people understand that, like, you're not coming up there prepared.
Yeah,
they expect. I thought you
were
going to
say something like, "Would you like to say anything?" In which case, I would have said, "Thank you." So I was prepared to say
thank
that.
You. Bye.
Yeah, and then you said something else, and I went, "Oh, I can't say
so
thank you."
You had you predicted something, and it didn't happen, and then
I know,
it threw you
and
off,
that's what threw me off. So I shouldn't have thought about anything.
It's like autofill.
Yes.
On your emails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I asked what the nerdiest thing was. Nobody could tell me because one person said the drone, another person said the free food.
Interesting.
I didn't know what it was.
I feel like photography. That, yeah, maybe that award was not very specific, so it could go for a wide variety of things. You had a few things you were known for, like the drone and the free food. So
okay,
it's kind of like somebody that's. I feel like maybe it ended up being like somebody that's known for something.
Okay,
I don't really know though.
Yeah,
it was
a
fun
evening, though.
I agree.
And I got another free meal, just to confirm, from the area next door, which only confirmed the free food aspects of the win. But the other award, which was for national stereotype, I didn't know if it was for somebody from England or Scotland or Britain either. That was for a multitude of things.
Yeah, I was actually wondering the same thing. I was thinking about it.
I was like, what was this people... for?
Yeah.
Was that your second award?
That was the first.
The first award, it was one of your awards.
I believe so. Yeah, I remember moving the pile around. There. Because your two were in the pile right after each other. But instead of making it get up twice in a row, I moved yours a little bit further down.
That was
so you had a little bit of a break to catch your breath.
Well, it was nice. The night was really nice.
It was.
You gave a Kahoot.
I hosted the Kahoot. That was so much fun. Hosting Kahoots is fun because you can kind of say... like a lot of random things and people just go with it. When I was doing the superlatives, I'm kind of the same as you where I need a script, but at the same time every time I write a script I go off of it. Doesn't matter what video I'm making, what I'm presenting, anything. I do it every single time. I make a script like word for word. I'm like, I know what I want to say, I have to say this, and then I just ignore it.
But I don't mind that because I feel like if I do have suddenly panic,
yes,
and I can't think of anything else to say. I've got the script there, so it's like a superstructure almost.
I don't know, because usually I change the order of the script, and then if I were to panic, I'm just screwed because I mess up the order, and if I try and read, it's gonna be all out of order. It's not gonna make sense. So I think I just have it as kind of a guide of these. I need to. What I should do instead is make a list of these are the things I need to talk about, and that's that.
Yeah.
But with the Kahoot, there's nothing because I didn't even know what the questions were before I started presenting the Kahoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was reading them with the audience.
That? Ida.
Ida made it, yes. Okay. So, yeah, she made it. She told me what it was about as people were logging in and signing up for it. And it was just Norwegian fun facts. So I was reading the questions, saying, oh, this person's in the lead. Oh, and then, I don't know, random comments about the questions. It was interesting. It was fun, though.
How many questions did you get after our first Waffle Hour hosting?
What do you mean?
When we made the waffle, the waffle making for the first waffle hour.
Oh.
Because, of course, we were the first.
We were. All three of us were the first waffle makers of the semester.
That was fun.
You don't remember?
I remember that.
It was iconic.
It was iconic.
Everything
was
we do
time.
Is iconic, Maya.
True, true.
Yeah.
People didn't ask you about it?
No.
Why?
Did people ask you about
people
it?
People questioned my serving skills.
Yeah, that was questionable. You guys were all making the
you guys were making the waffles in the back, and I'm just talking.
She
and...
was supposed to be regulating to make sure everybody only got one waffle at a time because that's the rules. And she's not doing a very good job.
But you know, conflict, we don't go together. You know.
Yeah, maybe I should have been up there.
I can't. If they take two waffles, I'm like,
okay,
all right. Please enjoy your waffles.
To be fair, it is easier if you know the people.
Hmm.
At that point, I didn't even know anyone
that well.
That's
true. It was the very beginning, so we didn't know anybody.
Yeah, everyone.
Either way, maybe I should have had the job.
Was your experience of the waffle hour making what inspired you to be the chef at the Halloween?
No.
I do like to cook. I love to cook.
Okay.
And we make pancake nights. Well,
we did,
that
we
happened
did
once. Well, one and a half, I would say.
We failed one time miserably. I don't know how we failed at pancakes. We're blaming the pan, but we
failed. Yeah, the pan is crap.
That was bad. Yeah. And that was your pan. I'm blaming that on you.
Oh, I've changed pans.
We had a Secret Santa night, and I attempted to cook some rice.
Oh,
and
oh
I don't
God.
Know what happened, but the rice ended up being hard, and it was so soggy from the water.
Oh, like that, porridge.
Yes. Ew, and none of us could understand why it was soggy, but still hard.
Interesting.
Ew. I know.
That sounds like unpleasant.
I mean, I almost
unpleasant.
Finished it, to be fair, because nobody
soft
else wanted it.
Soft on the outside and...
What?
Yeah.
No.
That's not the vibe. That's not rice. That's...
It was just strange. And we were standing around it going, what is happening? We couldn't figure it out.
I don't know.
Dear.
Yeah, the pancakes was interesting. I've never failed at making pancakes before.
And
it was the pan.
It was the pan, but yeah. It was...
IKEA.
The second time was much better.
Yeah. And I was the one who was making it.
Yes.
Hence why I like to cook.
So we've only done it twice, but now that we're both done exams, she's not going to be able to get rid of me, so we might do it again.
For sure, and we'll invite you for pancakes.
Yes, I was just about to say, I hope I'm invited to
yes,
this
of
pancake
free
event.
Free food.
Yes.
Come eat pancakes.
Yes.
You live on the same floor, so, right?
Yeah, he lives on the same floor
so
as me.
So we can
you,
just
yes.
come,
knock on the door.
Here's your pancake.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I will be there.
My home has become a community center.
House.
Well, I like having people over.
It's like
over.
Waffle House. More American references, I'm sorry.
Waffle House.
No, of course, absolutely fine. What I did want to talk to you about was now that we're coming... up to Christmas, the C word, my apologies. What?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, wow. We may have to bleep that out.
Okay.
No, wait, you know why I say that so confidently?
It's
because
it's an Australian thing, right?
Exactly.
It's not as bad in Australia.
It's an Australian, you know, when I first came here to Norway, before you start talking about the C word, I was told so many times about the word, you know, the word I just said.
Well, what was that?
Replay, everyone.
She
replay.
Say
but I was almost offended when people asked me, "Oh, you say this word all the time," and I'm like, "No, I'm not that typical bogan Australian." But
typical
anyway,
what, Australian?
That's why I mentioned it because it
yeah,
just
what
seemed.
Is that? Bogan
what is
Australian?
Bogan? What does that mean?
Like rednecks of America.
Okay, oh, I understand okay. now.
If anyone else still doesn't understand, it's just a typical Australian, you know, big person with a beer in hand, a cold beer. And a Neapolitan tan?
A farmer's tan?
Yeah, farmer's tan.
Well,
you
that's
know,
the American
it's like
southern way of saying
a
it.
A nice brown tan, completely white, and then
oh.
really burnt red all together in one.
Oh, I don't know about that one. Farmer's tan is just when you have like it's like a t-shirt tan, basically, because
yeah.
farmers with their short sleeve
yeah.
shirts. That's interesting, yeah.
Anyway, moving
but
on.
But anyway, back to the
Sorry.
Origin of the word.
Sorry.
No, back to Christmas.
Yeah.
What would be your typical... Christmas in Norway compared to Australia?
You know, there's one thing that I've mentioned to someone particularly about Christmas is that kids, for example, imagine Santa not in a big red coat. They see Santa with board shorts ready to take a surfboard and go out on the ocean,
like
take a wave.
Santa in Miami in the US.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's just an extra fact. But Australian Christmas would be...
Because it's going to be hot there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's burning hot. It's scorching. It's time for barbecue season.
I thought you were going to say temperature, but you just kept going with the adjectives and descriptions.
I like to be descriptive on a podcast, Maya. But yeah, it's hot, it's nice, and we have so many festivals that are like, you know, what you would expect in the summertime. And but I mean, it's the same with the big Christmas tree in the middle of the city centre, and you know, everyone's enjoying that.
Also, do you still do the lights?
Yeah, for sure.
Even though you maybe don't do, well, obviously you won't have the snow or...
No, but we have ice skating rinks. Is that strange having,
you know... Oh, really? Okay.
But it's like under like a tent that keeps it really cold, so it doesn't melt in the rest.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird. Having an ice skating rink in the middle of summer.
Yeah, and
that's
then you strange. Walk out and you're sweating again. It's a different sensation. But yeah. I think, you know, a classic Australian dinner, for example, on Christmas Eve, for me, it's a bit different because my family is European, so we have European dishes, like, from Latvia. But I've been to, like, classic Australian Christmas dinners, and it's, like, you have your pavlova. I don't know. Are you familiar with what a pavlova is?
No, please explain.
Oh, it's food, which is a passion of yours.
Exactly. Only a very specific type of food, though, one that has no cost.
Oh, yes, well... This is free food in this case.
We all appreciate free food.
Yeah. It's a big, big meringue. It's like a cake, but it's based on meringue. And it has whipped cream, sweetened cream on top with various tropical fruits on it. It's really refreshing on a hot summer's day in Australia. And yeah, crack open a beer. In that case, I couldn't drink beer, really, because I was underage. But that's what people generally do.
But you did it anyway.
I had a little sip here and there, you know, but I was a kid. I'm not a kid anymore.
Rebellious.
Oh, rebellious.
Yes. And, but yeah, just cold salads and, you know, yeah, a barbecue. Barbecue's all the way for Christmas, so.
And what has it been like now that you've been in Norway? What, do you go back home for Christmas or do you stay here?
Not this year, and I haven't been. So I've been here in Kristiansand each Christmas since I've moved here. Actually, I was really fortunate to have my first Christmas with my roommate who invited me to his parents' place. I was like, oh, this is an interesting situation. But he was so kind and he was like, you know, you're alone for Christmas. Let me take you into my family's home. And he lived here in Kristiansand, which was really convenient. And I got to experience for the first time, you know, traditional Norwegian food for Christmas and traditions of dancing around the Christmas tree and singing little songs with the kids. And they even did lots of presents, and I was so like overwhelmed. I was like, they were so kind to me. But yeah, got to experience snow for the first time for Christmas, and it was like really magical. And I was like, wow, look at the lights. You know, the first Christmas you're always like so mesmerized by the snow and everything. Now this Christmas is a little different because I'm used to it now. And I know why Norwegians say, oh, but it's snowing again. But the first time I was like a child. I was like, guys, it's a little bit of snow coming from the sky. And they're like, yeah, calm down, all right. But now I'm becoming one of them, which I don't want to be, because snow is beautiful. So
don't be the Grinch.
No, don't be the Grinch for Christmas. 100%.
Also, it's so interesting to me because we, in Britain and I think in America as well, well, pretty much everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere that gets snow or is very cold, sort of live within a psyche of Christmas music, and it's you know, everything's cold outside, and but the music is the same in Australia and all the stories are sort of similar, but obviously the weather is not.
Yeah, it's the same theme, just different environment. As it would be for many other countries.
Is it jarring?
Do you guys have like different variations of stories and things, or do you have all the American ones? Because, well, not even just American, but I don't know.
Or Western, I guess.
Western, yeah. All the stories are set in the winter with the snow.
Yeah.
And the cold. Yeah. Do you guys have that, or do you have variations? 100%.
Yeah. No, we dream of that. So we still sing songs about snow that is snowing outside. And whatnot, we want to be in that environment, but we can't, unfortunately. So we just go out for a surf instead. Get eaten by a shark. No, I'm joking. But we have had shark alarms before, and it was frightening.
Really?
Yeah, like we. Random story, but
Christmas.
Merry Christmas, chomp chomp.
Chomp chomp.
But I was out swimming one time. Okay, this is two stories, but it's going to be very short.
Okay.
Once I was swimming in the ocean with my cousins, and suddenly a massive stingray, like I'm telling you, it's this big, with a long tail, maybe like that, maybe that.
For the viewers
podcast
at home.
It's your voice, but it's not your picture.
She's delineating a lineal space.
Okay. I would describe that in feet. And I just got
roughly
feet.
Half a meter.
Roughly half a meter. There you go. Yeah, sorry. And it was approaching us really fast, and I was getting really scared because they can electrify you if they get angry.
Steve Irwin,
yeah, my good old friend.
I love Steve Irwin.
He was a great childhood
role model.
Icon.
Icon, that's the word. Icon.
Yeah. Almost got interacted with a stingray. And also, I was in the ocean one time, and there was a shark. But, like, not, like...
One shark.
Found me, of all people.
Yeah, that's true. It found me. I'm the chosen one. No, but...
Chosen one to get eaten by a shark.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it, but the shark alarm went off, and they said later in the news that if you were at the beach at this time... The shark was roughly 500 meters from shore. And I was like, bruh, that was too close. I was almost shark food. But it's actually kind of frightening as a kid when you're told about this. And then you don't feel like you want to go swim any further than a meter into the ocean.
I agree. We had a few, probably not as many as in Australia, but I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. But I also spent a lot of time on Cape Cod in Massachusetts, where there are actually a significant number of sharks. So it was not uncommon for us to see on the news, like, oh, there were sharks in the area. I remember watching Shark Week when I was a kid because I love sharks. I know a lot about sharks.
Shark Week?
Yes. So on Discovery, yeah, National Geographic, the TV channel, does Shark Fest. Discovery does Shark Week. And for a whole week, they play all shark shows, and sometimes they'll do shark movies, and it's like true stories about shark attacks and things like that. I'd watch it every summer for a whole week. That's all I watched. And half the stories were like Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and then Australia were the other ones, and California. But like so many in Cape Cod, and I was in Cape Cod going to the beach every day, and I'm like, well, here we go.
I think we've found a future project for you both to host. You can host sharks? From America, and you can host from Australia.
Yeah.
I'd have a podcast about sharks.
That's maybe what your podcast should be about.
I'll give you some insight, personal insight. Seen a shark before in a tank. Shark Tank is Shank a good tank, yeah. It's a good
we're getting
TV
off topic.
Series.
I know.
We were talking about Christmas.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about Christmas in Germany. And did you ever spend it in Germany, or did you go?
Yes,
you did.
So I was in Germany for 3 years.
And obviously,
I spent
Virginia.
Two of the Christmases in Germany. I was kind of adopted, as Petra was, into a family of one of my friends. My first year there, I just spent. For me, it was Christmas Eve. For everybody, it was just Christmas, I guess, the 24th of December. I spent it with my friend, who is my roommate the following year, and her family. She lived in Bremen, where I study, so it was nice. I just went home for that day, had dinner, spent the night. Next morning, I went back to campus because it was still COVID, and I had other American friends and people there in general that were not able to go home for Christmas, and I wanted to spend it with them, make sure they weren't by themselves. We did movie marathons and all that sort of thing. My second year, I did go home. That was interesting. I won't go into that too much detail. I did go back to Germany earlier than I planned. And then my third year, I was planning on just staying on campus and chilling, doing my own thing. And my friend found out a few days before he was driving home down near Munich that I was going to be by myself. And he was like, no, like, come with me so you're not by yourself. So I did that and stayed at his house with his family for about 2 weeks, or maybe a week. I honestly don't. I think it was a week. Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's very different for me, but I think that's also because I have a massive family at home. I have a lot of siblings, like six-ish. It's complicated because I have step-siblings and people that are like siblings and that spend Christmas with us but aren't family.
From the last
count,
there are these many.
Yeah, basically. And then I also have around 10 nieces and nephews.
Oh, wow.
So, it's chaotic. My parents are divorced, so it's...
It's like that Home Alone house.
Yes,
the start of the
that's
film.
What it feels yeah. like, except our house is smaller, so it's just more cramped and crowded. But I generally have at least 3 to 4 Christmases that I have to go to when I'm home. I have one with my mom. My mom's side is easy. It's me, my sister, my mom, and my stepdad, and now my two nephews. I actually haven't been there for any of their Christmases yet, but yeah. And that's calm. That's a nice one. Then we'll spend it with my uncle and his family on that side. And then my dad's side is the crazy one. That's where there's all the kids and all the siblings. And there have been a few years when we've been able to get everybody in the same place at once. But generally, there's so many people that we have to have a few separate Christmases. So, like, on one day, there's at, like, 3, there's one Christmas. And then at 6 p.m., there's another Christmas. And it's just constant. But it does mean good food. We always do biscuits.
It means more free food as well.
Yeah, because my parents are making it.
That's how you register it, Adam, into your ears.
We do cinnamon rolls in the morning as a classic. I actually made cinnamon rolls here the other day. They were very good. And we also do a classic Christmas food that we do is biscuits and gravy. It's just biscuits with sausage gravy.
Okay.
It's a biscuits. Southern. It's a Southern thing.
Well, I mean, we probably have some strange traditions as well. So.
But yeah, so Christmas in the U.S. versus Germany is just very different based on my surroundings. It was definitely nice having a calm Christmas for once when I was in Germany.
Mm.
But also the chaos is kind of fun with all the kids and the dogs and the parents making food and the trash and the wrapping paper everywhere and all the chaos from that is always definitely a good time. We generally have 20 people at our Christmases if we get everybody together easily. So going from that to spending it with my friend who's an only child and her parents was quite the difference. It was, I haven't had like a nice fancy-ish Christmas dinner since like ever because there's just too much going on. And that's what we did in Germany. I was able to dress up and we were able to sit and have good food, a nice conversation, candlelit and everything. So it was
That's true. Because good experience. I think that's the same for Norwegians. Now that you mention it, when I had my first Christmas here in Norway, it was also really like peaceful and it was so calm because I don't have a big family compared to Maya's family, but it still is kind of hectic and it's still really upbeat and everything. But Norwegians' Christmas are really laid back and they have that word koselig, which means like cozy. And they like thrive for that word.
I've heard people talk about that.
Yeah, it's like a really nice word they use. Just have a cozy time, relaxing, candle lit, like Maya said. Yeah, I think maybe that's just a European way of life.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. At my mom's house, it was definitely always calmer, but there was still a certain air of chaos, kind of, because me and my sister, we'd go together when we were kids. It was, we'd spend half the day with my mom and half the day with my dad. So it was always, okay, we have to open our presents, eat our food, and then we go to the other house.
Mm.
Or we are at the other house, so we're like, okay, we're here, let's get the stuff done, so open rushed. Our presents. It sometimes can feel like it, but it's fun because we'd always open our presents and then we sit and relax. I mean, me and my sister, we would always take our stuff and go to her room. Oops. But it's also like the dogs are there. We have to find something to keep the dogs are distracted. We have stuff on the TV. I know at my dad's house, the movie A Christmas Story. It's an American movie. It's from the 80s, I believe. It's my dad's favorite movie. There's a TV channel that plays it 24 hours on Christmas Day. They play it over and over and over. So my dad will be watching that all day, every Christmas. It's like a tradition. I honestly don't like the movie that much, but I watch it every year just because it's tradition. So it's
How many times does he watch it?
Oh, too many. A lot. But it's bad. Like, it's running in the background. So like, we're opening our presents. We'll turn
it's not
and
like
watch
you're
a scene.
Forced to watch it.
No, it's
Everything
on the TV.
Okay.
I mean, it's on the whole day, so I mean, except for when it's football, NFL time.
Okay.
And then that gets put on. Very American in NFL. My household. Yeah, my family is very, very American. I'm the only one that's
European.
Not. Yeah, I'm being Europeanized.
Bougie.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Well, for me, this is the first year that I've spent Christmas not in my home country. And last year was the first time I spent Christmas not in my hometown. So for the last couple of years, I spent it in York last year. And we went to the Minster, which is the cathedral in the city, on Christmas Day, which was amazing. It went on for 3 hours and people were singing and the choir was fantastic. And we both loved it. My mum and I came to stay. And this time I will be spending it with no family or traditional family, but we have a new family here, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm in that family too
now.
Oh, I might be, I might not. Maya's
presence has yet to be confirmed.
One of the girls on the football team invited me to spend Christmas with her and her family here in Norway, so I'm determining if that's possible or not.
Mm.
But this will be the first time that I spend it, you know, in a completely new place, which I wasn't intending to do. It wasn't part of the plan, but is what's happening. And I'm really looking forward to it. Very quickly, because we've been speaking for almost an hour now, I think, roughly that.
Crazy.
What are you planning to do next semester or in the new year? Obviously, you will still be here. We won't be here. That's right.
Theoretically.
The name of your podcast.
Yeah, I say that word way too much. I don't know.
Okay.
I have two more classes I have to take, and I'm waiting for my university to confirm that I am taking them remotely. That's the goal. I don't really want to go back to Bremen. I've spent 3 years there. That's enough. The university is really small. Most of my friends have graduated, kind of on to the next phase of my life, I feel like. I'd like to stay in Europe, and that would make it easier with the time zone for my online classes, but worst case, I go back to the U.S. and stay there, take my classes, work a little bit. But I, right now, have no idea, and I have about 2 weeks to figure it out, so that's how it's going.
That's a hook right there.
It's a hook. And what about yourself?
I mean, my plan is to finish my bachelor's. Mm-hmm. Next semester, I'll be taking a few courses, be doing my bachelor thesis, possibly on the Harlem Renaissance of the 1920s.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh.
ooh as in ooh, not ooh as in ooh.
No. Ooh as in cool, exciting.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. Anyway.
That.
So that's the plan. And then summer. But that's
summer
later.
Vibes.
Summer vibes. But yeah.
But you'll have a whole new group of exchange students coming to join
you. Guys will be jealous of me.
I will be jealous.
I'll be taken
around.
If you
replace me, no.
No one will replace Maya.
Thank you.
That's, you have your throne.
No one can replace... Words? No one can replace the rat.
Yeah, my little rat.
I was just about to say, next year you'll be
going back to the sewer.
Going back to the sewer? Hold on.
It's your little home for now. I'm making another home for you, okay? Anyway.
Wait, what? I'm lost. Anyways, moving on.
But yeah, I will be a bit nervous to meet new people, but I am a buddy next semester.
Oh, fantastic.
So yes. You get to easily meet all the new people.
Yes. And hopefully, you know, usually the autumn bunch are the most lively, considering they just came back from summer, they're out and about.
Summer but the vibes.
Yeah, summer vibes. But the spring group is always a little bit more... hush hush.
Okay,
so we'll see.
But there's also some people that are staying for a full year, so you will have some of the fall batch that will still be here that you'll be able to hang out with.
Anyone listening?
Tommy.
Yes.
Yep. Tommy. And
Aurora.
Everyone else.
Benjamin.
Yes. Yep. The French boys.
Yep, everyone. Yes, so I'm excited. The adventure begins again. Wow, we
one
are
same
in
wavelength.
Sync. That's why we are a package deal.
Exactly.
The dynamic
And you
duo.
Heard it here first. The new podcast with Petra and Maya will be coming soon.
Theoretically.
Theoretically.
Will be coming soon. Theoretically.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yes.
Well, before we go, I've got to ask you one more question to do with exercise, which is what we should have been talking about, but never mind.
Oops.
Who really cares? Have you completed the Jane Fonda advanced workout?
What?
You don't know what
I
he
don't
means.
Know this.
And you're from the same country as her.
I know Jane Fonda.
Finally, after 12 people,
yes.
One person knows.
I know. I've been hearing your podcast and you ending
it.
Yeah, Jane Fonda, the workout lady, that she was really popular at some point in the 80s.
Yes, and before that, she won Oscars.
Yeah.
I know the
She's
podcast can't see my face, but it's confused.
She's in Monster in Law. That's the only movie that I know of.
I recognize the name, but I don't know.
You need to check out Clute and Coming Home, for which she won.
Okay. She's also in the book club movie.
Yes, I wouldn't bother with that one.
Oh, it's a bad movie?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
But I don't think I'd bother with it.
Yeah, it's just women reading a book, 50 Shades
sorry,
of Grey.
No.
It's a bit...
Pause.
Pause. I'm a little bit raunty on this
But
podcast.
You do know her, and that's all that matters.
I do. I'll be working out to Jane Fonda right after this. After the break.
After the Christmas break.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to burn all those calories,
She'll have to
you
do
know?
Something because I won't be here to work out with her.
Yeah. I am the Fonda.
You will be passing on the information to the whole new group of Erasmus students that come to say, a lady called Maya taught me this.
Yeah.
This is how you use the treadmill.
Yeah. This is how you use the treadmill. I don't go on the treadmill. I hate cardio. Football is my cardio. Why are you looking at me like
Maya
that?
Hates cardio. Merry Christmas, everybody. Yes. Thank you very much, Petra. And
Thank
Maya
you.
For joining me.
Thank you for having us.
On this wild episode of World Mental Health Day. If it hasn't improved your mental health by now, then we can play a sad Christmas song. Thank you, and have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Chrysler.